When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day. Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
Angel, won't you call me? Could I be the only? Though I am a lost cause, Angel, won't you call me? Waiting for a sweet breeze.
Merry Christmas!
Merry almost Christmas.
Yes! Yeah. Look at the presents on the desk!
My Secret Santa is quite possibly the best one. I didn't really want to part with it.
Really?
No, I didn't really want to. Maybe I'll just choose mine.
Mine? No, you can't choose your own. Mine is a collage of things that I think are necessary in life.
In other words, like, they suck. Like, you like, went to, like, CVS and got, like, dental floss and things like that, and you screwed us.
Yeah. No,
you
I screwed us.
Socks and stuff.
No, I had to bring it on the plane this morning, so you can't bring any metal objects. It had to be all
What was your other option? A dagger? What's wrong with you?
Yes, Hamlet.
I mean, my God. Speaking of traveling, who's traveling for the holidays? Anybody?
Lots of people.
Traveling home? Who's going home?
I'm driving.
No, that doesn't count. Who's traveling home?
Well, I'm going back home.
Oh, man. I think about going home, and it's just like all the, like, even though it's supposed to be a Christmas show, all the family dynamics that we thought we grew out of that we didn't. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Have you ever looked at, like, the things that really upset you and paid it close attention to how you enable them?
Say that again.
Okay. For example, a friend of mine was at a dinner, right, with his significant other and the entire family of the significant other, right? And, okay, and he constantly feels like he spends all this money and they take him for granted and they just expect he's going to pay and all this stuff. And so anyway, he's like, all day long, I was so anxious and so stressed about this dinner. And I thought, I'm not paying. I'm not going to pay. I'm not paying for it. So I go, okay, well, what happened? He goes, I paid for dinner. And I go, why? Sorry. And he goes, because we'd still be sitting there. Right now, if I hadn't picked up the check. But he was so pissed about it. And I was like, babe, this is, you're enabling it. Like, you have to protect yourself. You're martyring yourself, and then you're super pissed about it. It becomes like this catch-22. Mm-hmm. And I find that I've felt that a lot during the holidays sometimes, where I'm just like, oh, God, the holidays, hold on. Let me spend a freaking gazillion dollars and everybody expects it from you, and then you get kind of bitter about it. Mm-hmm. And this year, I was like, look, this is ridiculous. I really want to take my money and say, now I finally understand why I used to get these cards of like, we've donated a gift in your name to the Red Cross.
Right.
And the thing is, I look at my life and I'm like, you know what? You have enough, 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 you have enough. And I'm going to make a donation to like the Red Cross or the Alliance for a Healthier Generation or, and like, this is all in your, not my kids, obviously, but I realized like I was enabling myself to feel taken advantage of or taken for granted. And so this is not what this was supposed to be about, but when you start to feel like people don't appreciate you or they don't respect you or they're not listening to you, look at the role you're playing in that pattern, because I guarantee it's a two-way street. I promise you, you are in one way or another contributing to that dynamic. And although we so desperately want the other person to change, they don't always. It has to be us that changes.
That's right. Be the change. Be the change you want to see.
You have to be the one that changes. And then, you know, you think, well, they're not going to like me anymore, and they expected I would give them this or I would give them that. But that's the heart of your own growth. And if there are people in your life that don't respect that and don't understand that, that's their problem. And, you know, and I also look at my contestants, man. This season, I've never had a group quite. Don't get me wrong, there are contestants that are amazing on this season. There are a few of them that are as fantastic as some of your all-time favorites. You know, the Abby Reichies, the Olivias, the Hannahs, the Shays, the Michelle Aguilars. God, like, these contestants are so addicted to their patterns that they will cut their nose off to spite their face, right? So one of them is so addicted to having an abusive parent who doesn't think she's good enough and doesn't care about her. And so she's on the treadmill and we've been at this now 3 months, okay? 3 months. And she won't run at 6 miles an hour for more than a minute. Look at your face, right, Britt? I'm dying. I'm unraveling. I'm like, this is unacceptable. This is not acceptable. I know you can do this. I know you can do more. I know you have it in you, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, well, I'm happy with it. I'm happy with it. I don't care what you think. And after time, it came out that, oh, I get it. You're rebelling against the parent that made you feel not good enough and always made you feel like a disappointment. So you're going to phone it in and then say, I don't care what you think, and repeat the pattern. And then when we finally got to the bottom of it, I was like, what do you want me to do, Alex? Do you want me to let you do a minute when I know you can do 10 or 20 or 30? Do you want me to just give up and walk away and let it be good enough when you know that it's not? Mm-hmm. And she was so addicted to failing and being right and playing out that pattern that she didn't even see how she was hurting herself in her life or creating that pattern of disappointment. I was like, I'm your trainer. Do you want me to sit back and go, yes, we've been here for 3 months now and you can only run a minute? That's enough. Like, of course I'm going to be disappointed with you. And it was so hard to get her to see the part she was playing. It really, especially at this time of year, I really think it brings up all that family stuff.
Sure. Oh,
and I know it's Christmas and it's like, I get it. And there are parts of it that are awesome and that are really great. And then there are parts of it that bring up really hard family dynamics, really hard dynamics with close friends. And I'm going to say to you, if you're going through any of that, and I know I am, I know Bob is, I know other friends of mine are, look at what you're doing to help keep this dynamic going and ask yourself how you can stop it. And with Alex, I said, dude, you got to make a decision. What's more important to you? Do you want to have a healthy, happy life where you're the best you can be? Or do you want to sit here and prove to me that I'm the bad mommy and you didn't do it because I'm the bad mommy and you're right and you couldn't run for more than a minute? Like, what is your decision going to be? When are you going to let go of this pattern? And I explained to her that she has to do it for herself and want it for herself. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen? It's just this season has been particularly challenging.
You know, if I could bring in a perspective from
please.
Oh,
my God. I couldn't be more. I am having the hardest time this season. And Bob has been no help because here's Bob's favorite thing to do. Bob's like, oh, hold on. You're taking a hard line with them. Let me be the good parent and the good guy so that I always look like.
Oh, my God, that's so
awesome. Oh, it drives me crazy. He's
done
it.
But that's what you guys think.
He drives me insane with it. And by the way, these are the contestants that I was unraveling on yesterday were contestants that he'd been unraveling on previously. And no one was allowed to, like, there was a moment when I thought he was being too hard. And he's like, I don't want to hear it, Jillian. You know, keep it to yourself. And at that moment, these contestants were on his team. And now when I'm like, this girl actually quit or this girl, then he starts pulling the, you know, hold on, let me be the good cop, the good daddy card. It drives me up the wall. So I'm like, I'm functioning in a vacuum. And then what he does for the contestants is give them a place to hide. Do you know what I mean? Where they don't have to look at themselves because it's like, well, you know, Bob says it's fine. Oh, it just drives me nuts. It drives me nuts.
Well, unfortunately, you're in a situation where you've got, how long is the season of Biggest Loser?
It's like, this one's not long.
So, yeah,
and they're not, like, some of them are doing amazing and some of them are not getting better.
But you're constantly pushing the natural evolution of change, right?
Yeah.
Because you've got, oh, we got to do it in this show. Whereas we're attracted to our character defects because it's all we know.
That's like, all they know. And they're exactly. So, and it's, they've leaned on it to survive
exactly.
Psychically up until this point.
Because they think, but I like this.
Oh, she's
like this part of myself.
Addicted to it. And it's the way that she rebels against
exactly.
Her mother. It's like, no, I've kept myself safe by telling myself that I don't care what you think, because what you think is so psychologically devastating to me. I've developed this defense mechanism of I don't care what you think. But of course she does more than anything in the world. And then she's like, let me fail. Let me be mediocre so you get disappointed. And then I can turn around and tell you, I don't care what you think. And you're the bad mommy. And it's just, oh my God. But what she, I'm like, girl, this is what's brought you here. This is why you're here. This is why you're 200 pounds overweight. It's, oh, Janice.
And this addiction, it's like saying, okay, I'm not going to drink anymore. I'm not going to smoke anymore. I won't do drugs anymore. And I won't lie anymore. But I'm still going to sleep with sailors. Do you know what I mean? It's like, nothing against the sailors out there in America. I don't say that.
I got a lot of friends that think that's a great thing.
No, okay. I'm not going to, I'm not going to sleep with 8 sailors at a time. How about that? You know what
I
mean?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I don't think 8's a lot. Yeah.
So you hang on to that one thing because you think, you know what? I like that part of me.
Yeah.
It's like,
oh, geez,
really?
Man.
So it's because, and until you can replace the old defect, you got nothing to replace it with. So she's got nothing because she can't see past that yet.
Doesn't see. That's the problem is people, you're right. They don't see, one, the part they're playing. She absolutely cannot see how she's contributed to this dynamic. How I kept saying, what do you expect me to do when you run for 1 minute after 3 months? Like, girl, you're baiting me for this fight. Like, look at what you're doing. Look how you're repeating this pattern. Like, what would you do if you were me? You know, can't see it. Well, I'm happy with it. I'm like, you're not.
I'm happy
or you
with
wouldn't
it.
Be here. I'm happy with it. I'm proud of myself. I'm like, you're not. Or you wouldn't be here. Oh, Jesus. The thing is, honestly, I'm asking you guys out there, if you want to see a change in the patterns that are hard and unhealthy, you've got to look at yourself. You've got to look at yourself and ask, what are you doing? What's on your side of the street? And I'll give you one more example to think about. A friend of mine's in a relationship, obviously. And two boys. So his boyfriend was having his feelings hurt about a bitchy comment that my friend had made about a Christmas wreath. There was a wreath that was up on the house. And the boyfriend.
Sorry. No, I mean, I don't laugh, but I just think,
oh, no.
It's so true.
It's the little things that trigger the deeper issues.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So my friend had put this huge wreath up on his garage, and the boyfriend comes home, and the boyfriend doesn't say anything. And my friend's like, aren't you gonna say anything about the wreath? Like, and the boyfriend was like, I've told you I need a minute to unwind. I need a minute to just, you know, decompress. And they get in this huge fight. And the boyfriend's like, I need you to allow me that space, right? That space where I can decompress. And it becomes all about the boyfriend and his decompressing. And my friend's like, okay, I hear you. I get it. But I also need you to hear me. I need you to, like, I need you sometimes to have a reaction. I need you sometimes to feel excited. Like, I don't feel connected with you sometimes. And the boyfriend wasn't able to hear it, wasn't able to see what he was doing, wasn't able to see his side of the street. And I finally, because I was like, babe, look, You love each other so much. There's so much good in this relationship. And here's what's going to make or break this, because all relationships are hard. If he's unable to own up to what he's doing, then yes, it's not going to work. If he is able to see what he's doing, then you do have a chance and you do continue to fight. But you need to communicate clearly what you need. So he writes back. This is all via text because it's 2012. And he writes back and says, I love you. I'm sorry about my bitchy comment, but I feel like you're not seeing or hearing what I need. It's not about assigning blame, because the boyfriend was like, why do we have to blame each other? Let's just move on. And he's like, you can't move on until you see what you're doing, so you don't continue to do it. And he's like, I need you to see that sometimes I do need you to be connected. Sometimes I do need you to get excited about the wreath. And that's when he got the message, I do know what you need. I do wish I could have gone back in time and said, wow, honey, that's so cool. Thanks for putting that up. You know, I'm sorry about that. But I also need a safe place to expect. And they kind of came to this.
Right.
It was like, all right, I see what I'm doing. You see what you're doing. You've got to. And a lot of people can't do it because they don't have the self-worth or the self-esteem. And admitting that you're wrong or you're not always right, whether it's your parenting skills or, you know, the way you are in your relationship, that sucks. I hate having to look at the ways that I'm a crappy parent. But I know that if I want to be a better parent, I have to. If you want to be the strong, responsible person whose life gets better and not worse, stop for a moment and look at what you're doing that's creating these things that continue to bother you, or these patterns that continue to play out.
Or have the courage, or and if you can't see it, have the courage to ask some.
Yes!
Have the courage to say, what am I doing wrong here?
Oh, my God. And well, don't attack them when they give you the answer.
Exactly. Because that takes, chutzpah, whatever you want to call
it. You never want to hear it. I hate when Heidi tells me.
Yeah.
Hate it.
But that, to me, that's the biggest person to say, what am I doing here?
I know. I had to do that with her recently, and she was like, well, babe, sometimes it's hard to communicate with you because, you know, you get so loud and so intense and so passionate that it kind of like shuts me down. And she's like, I feel like you know, you have a list of all the reasons why I'm wrong instead of just hearing what I'm feeling. And she might say, you know, I feel like you said this, and I'll be like, no, I said X and Y and Z that were totally to the contrary. Do you know what I mean? Like, and it's amazing how I can, my dad was a lawyer. I can do, and now I'm trying to just be like, okay, you know what? I felt like I was hearing you in these ways, but I see that, you know, this comment, maybe I didn't hear you, or maybe I negated that. Let me calm down. And, you know, because she told me I did something recently. I was like, no, I didn't, right away to the defensive. And
sure. Yeah.
You're right. You got to stop, slow down, don't yell, and really listen and try to hear what they're saying.
Man,
it sucked. Oh, happy Christmas. God, what's wrong with me these days?
We'll be right back with more, with more Christmas cheer.
Oh, good. Super.
Santa baby, just slip a guitar under the tree for me. Been an awful good boy, Santa baby. Hurry down the chimney tonight.
Yeah.
Why are you snowshoeing?
Hey?
Are you really snowshoeing?
I snowshoe. Yes.
No.
Well, I'm not.
It's actually a great workout. You know, you can burn up to 600 calories. I've never done it, but you can burn up to 600
Jillian,
calories in an hour. Sounds like hell to me.
No, because it's if you never, well, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to tell you about it.
Okay, go.
Is you stretch, you don't need the super equipment either. You can just go to the local place, rent them if you want to.
Okay.
And they're, even if you did buy them, they're not all that expensive unless you get into the elite snowshoeing.
Oh.
But you just wear your hiking shoes.
Yeah.
Strap them on.
Okay.
Get some poles.
Oh.
And amazing. You're going uphill, just like, whoa.
Yeah. Okay.
Like just jumping in. And it's, yes, amazing. You can climb up hills.
Whoa.
You would never think you could climb up because the things are digging in.
Interesting.
And then I cheated a little bit because we were so exhausted that I rolled down some on my arse. But hamstrings.
Okay.
Leg work. Amazing.
Oh.
See, I'm not a skier. I don't do so good on skis, but I like the cross country skiing and I like the snowshoeing.
Well, I was going to give you some little tips on winter sports.
Okay.
You know, like that, but I didn't know you were a pro.
Oh, I'm not. I'm not, but I enjoyed it and I'm not a daredevil winter sport person. So that's why I don't, not daredevil, but I don't ski and I don't snowboard because I've fallen down far too many times.
I see. Okay. Well, are you ready? Are you ready? I thought we'd start with skiing.
Okay.
You see, I'm making my trip, my ski trip this year. We're going to Whistler. Yeah. Whistler. Cool.
You know how close I am to Whistler?
Oh, shoot. Oh, crap.
I'm very close to, I could come, I could pick you up at the airport, Jillian, and take you.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm going to Aspen in Colorado.
You're not going to Aspen. No. You're going to Whistler. Are you a Whistler? Whistler Blackcomb. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. You'll love it up there. That's where the Olympics were.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
How close are you?
No, I won't bother you.
No, you should come, actually.
No, I won't come, but I could.
You should come. A bunch of us are going. And, you know, I do this every year. I go snowboarding once a friggin' year and then wonder why I am so injured when we get back. And I thought what we might do is just go over a few little tips and tricks, because skiing and snowboarding, all these winter sports, snowshoeing, all this stuff, it's actually incredible exercise and it's fun. But you can get really hurt and you need to take some precautions. So I thought we would go over some of the basics. The first one is called skier's thumb. Have you heard about this?
Well, I can only imagine because it's hooked into the...
Ooh, yeah. I don't ski. I don't like skiing. I like snowboarding better because I grew up on a skateboard and a surfboard. Oh. So the concept of those two sort of, skis going in different directions does not work for me. And I remember falling down once as a kid and you can't get up. I've fallen and I cannot get up. I mean, the things are perpendicular in the snow. It was a nightmare. So I don't ski, but I got a couple of tips from my skiing buddies. Skier's thumb. So I guess what happens is if you wipe out, they don't let go of the poles. And
yeah, there's no quick release on your thumb.
They're not letting go of the poles. And when they hit the ground, the pole bends back their thumb. And you can end up with some serious ligament damage. People really, really hurt themselves and end up requiring surgery for tearing a ligament there. So this is actually pretty simple. If you're somebody who's like, oh, we're going to go skiing, I'm going to rent skis. If you wipe out, let go of the poles. Physically release the pole. Let the pole go. Huh? Did I do a good job of warning you about that one?
No, that's good.
Oh, good.
That's good.
Okay. The next one is a knee injury. Skiers are really prone to knee injuries, in particular damaging their MCL.
Hello.
Yeah, and it has to do with the stressing the knee. It's how if their knee is going too far forward, if they're catching the inside of the ski, the angle that they're skiing, especially in snowplow position, which is when you put your toes together and you catch that inside lip and you spread the legs open. This just sounds so gross.
I wasn't going to go there, but you go ahead.
Well, but it's excessive force applied to the joint.
Well, yeah, look at the position.
And the skis cross, and then the stance widens in the position, which is dangerous. Do you understand, Janice?
I do.
You do?
Let
me see your position.
This is my snowplow.
So what you want to do is you want to make sure that your snowplow is not too wide. That's going to really, really help. And it's really important that you get the bindings on your skis maintained and the settings checked. Because apparently the bindings, again, I'm not a skier, but the bindings, I guess, you have to have a ski mechanic do a release check.
Yeah, because you want to get if you go down, you want your boot to come out of that damp off the ski.
Yeah, otherwise, snap-a-roo.
Otherwise, oh, hey, what's that up in the tree? Oh, that's my kneecap. How'd that get up? Isn't that pretty? No, but it's true. Yeah, you want, bindings are very important. And then if you do rent, just make sure that, you're right, the tech, say, please, could you check my bindings?
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
Please, dear technician.
Exactly. Uber importante. Mm-hmm. Obviously, wear a helmet. Head injuries are so, so hardcore.
Yeah.
Wear a helmet. This is just common sense.
Yeah.
You know, that snow is hard, man.
Well, look at Natasha Richardson. She was on that ski holiday.
Sonny Bono, or did he hit a tree? I don't
remember. He hit a tree. I think Natasha, she fell. She was snowboarding, and she fell. She hit her head, but and then she didn't realize it until after.
Yeah.
She'd gone, you know, après ski, and anyway, it's very, you're right. Helmets. And there's some really cool helmets now.
Let's
face
it, cool.
You can really cool in a helmet. So.
I don't know. I never look good in my snow gear anyway. So if I just add a helmet on there.
It doesn't really matter.
It doesn't really matter. Yeah. I've tried to look cool, but you just look like, you know, the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. I mean, it's just all those layers. But boy, when the conditions are, you know, woof, and that snow gets icy, it's like cement.
Oh, it is.
Holy mother of God. It's like, wham, you go down. It hurts like a holy... So,
yes.
Next, snowboarding. Now, this one I have a little bit of experience with. And one of the number one things that happen is you get a wrist injury. And this is why. You fall with your hands outstretched in front of you. And, of course, it's going to, you know, completely wipe out your wrists. Mm-hmm. And I did use wrist guards, but I still felt like I was in so much pain. My forearm flexors felt like they were torn out of my hands. The idea is that you want to tuck and roll. You want to land on your side or your so painful, but your upper back, you kind of want to tuck into a little ball, because if you go down with those hands in front of you, you're can I say screwed? You're screwed.
You're screwed.
Yeah. The next one, shoulder injury. And this one happens a couple of ways. Either you take a tumble and you land on the tip of your shoulder, or you know, you're going down the hill and you've got that arm out stretched behind you and you fall backwards and kind of pull it. Oh, it's just sucks. Tuck yourself into a somersault position. And this also helps you avoid the wrist injury. Kind of, and it spreads out the impact, and you're not like catching the wrist or catching the shoulder, sort of tuck and roll kind of a thing. Somersault.
Well, I hate to say it, but your ass, it hurt. Like, you fall on your butt. At least I did. I shouldn't say you. I fell a lot on my butt, and it really hurt. Like my tailbone.
It does hurt.
You know.
Yeah. And, you know, prepare yourself, obviously. If you know that you're going to go skiing or you know that you're going to go snowboarding, strengthen your quads at least 6 weeks before you go out there, because there's so much quad. You come off that mountain, I still can't walk the next day. I'm like, oh, my God, if you're not used to it mm-hmm. and you know, you're constantly, like, snow plowing or you're doing the whole, you know, snowboarding stop, whatever it's called, it is brutal. Strengthen your quads. And you're strengthening your tendons as well, your ligaments as well, before you go out there, at least 6 weeks before. And this will help because, especially with snowboarding, you got to be really careful about your balance. So try having somebody work on practice, you know, proper landings. You don't want to, your lean angle is really important because you can sprain your ankle. You need to make sure that your knees are flexed when you're on the board, don't lock your legs, and that your weight is evenly distributed. Because if you're leaning too much one way or the other, you can sprain your ankle. Does that make sense?
If you're forward leaning
too much and you're not balanced on the board, you can pull something. It's brutal. Not to say, but we want you to go out and
Well, you
engage.
Know what else too? And if you are like a once a year kind of person that does hit the slopes like
Me.
That. Well, and
Me.
There's some amazing instructors out there. Take a refresher course.
See, I get lessons.
Fork out the money and take a lesson, and it just gives you that confidence. They can tell you about the hill, the best runs to go on.
So
like
true.
And
oh my God,
you know, if you're going to afford the money to go to the hill, which is quite expensive now,
I know.
In most places, take a little extra and take a lesson. Otherwise, you can join me snowshoeing or cross country skiing.
I'd rather be dead than do that.
With me. Okay, I can understand not doing it with me. But to do it, it's great.
I remember my brother and I, like, we'd been watching all of these people kind of come, like in Aspen, on Aspen Mountain, they sort of come all the way down and there's this little après ski place, mm-hmm. Ajax Mountain, or I think it's called. And, you know, I was like, we can do this, Greg. We can get all the way down. I mean, we're going halfway down.
Oh, no.
And my instructor, Coach Susan, and Greg had a teacher. I can't remember his name. He had some name like... Crafty or Whiffy or I don't remember.
Most of the instructors are all Aussies.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. Which makes no sense because there's no snow in Australia.
That's why they come. They come here for the seasons. They spend the summer or they spend the winters here.
It was something like that. Yeah. And I was like, Greg, we can do this. And we had like a half day. And they were like, okay, let's go down. I was like, no, we're gonna go down. And they were like, no. And I was like, no, we can do. Oh, my God. It was
you didn't run into the cross country people.
No, I slid down. The moguls were the size of a Buick. I mean, I looked at my brother and he's like, what have you done? Like, it was like a blizzard and it was slick and it was like cement and it was just awful. Oh my God. And we came all the way down. Coach Susan had to like slide down on her butt with me, and you pick up some speed. I've never been so scared. And there was everybody at the Ajax Tavern watching us slide in on our butt. It was awful. It was. And then what's the first thing I did when I went back? Straight to the chiropractor.
Yeah.
Why is your butt so sore? Well, I wore my tailbone down. Sliding.
It could be very humbling.
Don't
very
be humbling. Stupid.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
me.
But that's great. You're going to Whistler. You're going to have fun. That's
I
lovely.
Know, I know it. Yeah.
Wow.
I bet you wish you were there. Now.
God, you're so cruel.
I'm just saying.
Those are the cool people will be. Well, there's some very, there's and very trendy. You're going to have to, you know, hope your gears, you know, Whistler can be very, you know, there's a lot of expensive ski suits there.
Oh.
If that's what you call it. Ski suits.
I have Montclair gear. Okay.
Well, I don't even know what that is.
It's the coolest of the gear.
I wear sweatpants with long underwear underneath. And then I wonder why I weigh 18,000 pounds when I'm off the hill. Why can't I walk? Well, you know.
Because it gets wet.
It gets wet, especially when you fall the amount of times I do. But that's good. I'm glad. Have a wonderful trip. Enjoy your ski holiday in Whistler. I love the fact you're coming up to Canada. You have to cross the border now. Hope you got all your affairs in order. Most beautiful airport in the world is the Vancouver Airport. It's very pretty.
Why is it still talking?
Is there a waterfall inside there?
It's still talking, Jay.
So, what have you been up to?
I saw a movie that I liked. This is a spoiler alert, though.
Oh.
Yeah. So, okay, if you haven't seen Life of Pi.
I saw it.
You're going to need to fast forward to the next segment. Sorry about that. Okay. Yeah, spoiler alert. What did you think of it?
It was beautiful.
Beautiful
movie.
Ang Lee.
I must admit, I didn't know it was 3D when I first went. And so I went, of course, I went by myself.
Because that's the kind of life I'm leading now.
Stop.
Anyway, so I went and I was walking to the, you know, the one of those theaters that go way up. You know,
way up. Yeah.
And so they have those in Sugar Ditch where I'm living. anyway, so I went to the theater and I went, oh, and I, you know, and I went, look at all those people up there. Look at all this room down here.
Oh.
Right? So I said, I'll sit right up here, near the close to the front.
Okay.
Put my 3D glasses on. Oh my God. I was just like, whoa. I've never done drugs, but you know what I mean? It was just too close. I was wondering, why is everybody sitting way up there? Look at all this room.
No.
Yeah.
The 3D is a trip at first. Yeah, it's hard to adjust to.
I cried.
I know.
I cried quite a bit.
I know it.
And I didn't want it to be like that. Like, I didn't want these things to be happening.
Interesting that you say that. Okay, so for those of you that have seen the movie, obviously we all know there are two endings. There's the one where he was on the boat with the animals, and there's the one where he was on the boat with people.
Mm-hmm.
Which ending do you choose? You're going to say exactly what... I know you're going to... What are you going to say?
No, I'm going to say... Well...
I knew it! You're going to say people.
No, because the people was too... I didn't like the people ending.
But do you believe?
I believe the animal. Well, no, I shouldn't say that. Hang on. I haven't really... No one's asked me that.
It's the answer to the whole movie, though. Which do you believe? Brittany?
Well, I believe that the moral of the story was, if the facts are the same, believe the better story.
Which do you believe, though?
The animals.
You truly believe there were animals on the boat?
Yep.
You were the only other one who agrees with me.
Really?
Oh, my God. Bob and I got in a screaming match over this.
God,
he's like, do you really believe that Moses parted the Red Sea? Do you really believe? And I was like, I don't think it's the same thing. He's like, it is the same thing. And I'm like, no, no, it's not the same thing. This could happen. That couldn't possibly happen. And we're screaming. And here's why. Because the whole movie is about finding God. Finding right. God in your life. Believing in God. And at the end, he's like, which story do you choose to believe? Because the story with the people on the boat, you know, his mother being killed and all these atrocities are much harder to stomach and take than the story of the animals being on the boat and the animals killing each other and what have you. And
oh, my God.
What?
She just had an epiphany.
No, but look. But at the end, he goes, which story do you believe? And he's like, I believe the one with the animals. And he goes, and so it goes with God. Like, if you believe, if you allow God into your life, if you believe and you have faith, then you're the person who believes in God. If you believe in the animals, then, because the people who were, like, investigating the shipwreck, right? They were saying, like, we don't believe you. Yeah. We don't believe you. We need a real story. They weren't allowing themselves to let that faith come into their lives. So, to me, if you believed it was the animals, you are the person who believes in God.
Yeah. I told you she had an epiphany.
No, but I never...
And he clearly believes in God. He believes and teaches Kabbalah, Hindu, Buddhism. He's praying before his meal.
But I never thought that the story of the people was true.
Bob's positive it was true. Bob's like, you're an idiot. Of course it's true. Heidi is like, but they read the book too.
I didn't read the book.
Bob, Paige, Heidi all read the book. They believe that it's the people story, that it became too painful for him to say, okay, this guy killed my mother and then right. I had to kill this guy because, you know, the kid was a pacifist. He's a mm-hmm. pacifist and a vegan, for God's sake.
Well, as you said, when the worst part of it was the evil came into me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where he's like, he had to, you know, we had to kill, you know.
Oh, my God, I'm almost weeping. I never thought.
Bob swears that's the truth. And while I can see why, the part of me that chooses to believe is because I felt like the whole movie was making a statement about humanity. That if you can't believe these things really did happen with the tiger and the animals and the island and this and that, then you can't accept the miracle of God. But again, who knows? I don't know.
No, but you know,
I believed it was the animals.
See, I never thought it was the people.
Everyone, God, girl, I've been having this fight for days.
I thought, exactly, same thing. When he started telling the story about the people, I thought he was just making it up at the top of his head.
I thought that he needed to give them a story. Just like in life. People need to see something that they can believe in. Do you know what I mean? They need to see it. Like, don't give us a story we can't understand.
You know, my mom was a woman of faith, had a very strong faith. And I always remember talking to her about, you know, with the... For Christians,
I'm trying Bob.
You're calling Bob.
Oh, did he answer? No, not yet. Go ahead.
For people who believe in Jesus Christ and people who have that faith, and I always said to Mom, I said, but Ma, how do you at Easter time when Jesus rolled the rock away from the
right.
tomb, right? And I go, Ma, how can you believe that? Like I started getting into how did it really happen, and
right.
she goes, I just believe.
Right.
She said, I believe.
That's exactly what he was saying.
And it was the most.
And so it goes with. Ugh, he's not there. Shoot. Okay. Anyway, that would fight
so
on the air.
And so it goes.
Yeah.
And so
it goes with God. You just believe. But I'm not saying, by the way, that I take those stories literally. I personally do not. But I do think they're teaching lessons. I think that they...
Are metaphors, you mean?
They're metaphors. I see them. I personally see them as metaphors, although I'm not saying that it's right or wrong. But it's very funny because I always thought that Bob had God in his life and he was like, I think at this point in his life, he's I don't know. I'm not going to speak for him. But for me, he's like, you know, there's no God, right? And I was like, babe, how can you say that? What are you talking about right now? You're here. Like, just the fact that we're here says something. Do you know what I mean? It's like you think, therefore you are. Like, the universe is incredible. I mean, I watch these shows about, you know, called The Universe or, you know, the shows with Stephen Hawking on the Science Channel or Michio Kaku, and I read their books.
Joseph Campbell's.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, it's staggering how vast and incredible the universe is. I mean, when I see that, I'm like, this got here somehow. I personally just don't believe it came from, it's God. The fact that it exists is God. The whole thing is God. The whole energy is God. Even if it's just me and you, then we're God. We're here. So there's got to be something. I don't claim to know what it is, and I don't claim to have the answers, but it is a belief. And I don't feel that I'm doing it out of weakness. I really don't. I don't feel like I need it to help comfort me or calm my fears. Because I don't know that my individual personality goes on, but when I look around me and I look in nature, I'm like, this is too magnificent. And when they talk about, I remember I was watching this thing on one of those shows, and they said that all the things that had to happen for there to be matter and life in the universe, it's like one in a gazillion odds. There were so many different, like, you'd sooner take a sharpened pencil and stand it up on its point, like, and it would balance. Like, that's how crazy, how many things had to occur that were just right.
I see what you're saying.
You had to have like just enough matter over antimatter, or it would have annihilated. It's fascinating stuff. The temperature of the universe, the gravity, this, that, the other, all these things that needed to occur for there to be life. I mean, it's like a one in a gazillion chance. And that's why they were saying you'd sooner take a sharpened pencil, stand it on its point, and balance it. You have better odds at doing that for this to just be a random thing. Anyway, nice. I don't know. I thought it was the animals.
I'm still stymied. I honestly thought when the investigators were saying we need this story, and I thought he just made it up at the top of his head about the people. And then when at the very end, when the investigators the report and says it, quite amazing, this young man lasted, you know, what was 272 days with nothing but a Bengal tiger.
Tiger, and that's what else.
Like, and that, I kind of went, wow.
Yeah. Right.
So they believed. Then they believed in the animals.
Like, a reporter did. It was a reporter.
Oh, is that what it was?
No. It was an article, I thought.
Oh, I thought it was the actual. He had a copy of the report from the Japanese investigators.
Oh, he did. Okay, I thought it was an article about it.
Yeah, I'm not.
And when they said with nothing but a tiger, that's when I was like, no, they're telling you to keep an open mind here. It's a choice. You have to make a choice. And I think what's so fascinating about the movie is that the choice you make is very, very, says a lot about who you are. Not that there's anything wrong with your decision.
However, I must admit, though, if the movie was made about the people, and I hate to say, and it's because we're animal people, I was far more affected when those animals died.
You wouldn't have been if the cook had slaughtered his mother in front of him.
Well.
Which is what he was saying. And remember, the cook was a heathen. Remember
yes,
what a
the cook
monster
was a horribly
the cook was?
Yeah.
And they did show you that.
I still say, though, if it was a movie and I saw the death of people, I'd be more still affected by the death of animals than I would. I don't know.
Not
I'm
if it
saying
was
something
his mother.
I don't know. Not if it was his mother. You're right.
You saw his mother be killed in front of him? It's barbaric. And that's what Bob was saying. He's like, he had to create a story in his mind that it was animals. And he had to separate the side of him that was the Bengal tiger, because he couldn't acknowledge the darkness in himself, that he was capable of killing someone or killing something. So he almost developed a split personality, and he was, part of him was the Bengal tiger, and the other part of him was him.
God, this movie's so much deeper than I ever dreamed.
I know.
That's why it's so good.
I know.
Okay. Sorry, Jake.
Yeah, sorry, Jake hasn't seen it yet.
I've been trying to focus on Facebook over here and tune out completely.
I don't care about Jake.
All I heard was people and animals and a report or something like that, and a tiger and a boat.
Yep. And then when he jumps the motorcycle over the 50 cars, it's fantastic.
Oh, well, now you just ruined the movie for me.
But I got to admit, it was beautiful. Like some
gorgeous.
Of those scenes in the boat, you're just like...
Yep.
And I heard James Cameron interviewed about the technology, because it was James Cameron's technology
that
Ang Lee used. And he said how the way he filmed it and the way they use that technology, you feel like you're right on the water.
Yeah, that's
and
awesome.
And I felt that. Like I went, oh my God, I'm sitting here on the water with him. It was amazing. Wonderful.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, God, I'm exhausted. I'm just so overwhelmed by what I've learned.
Try to think about it, Janice.
Is it time now? Secret Santa!
But
Secret Santa.
How are you going to determine who gets which one?
Oh, I didn't know.
Because it's not really Secret Santa. It was like a white elephant situation, wasn't it?
I can't remember. What do you do with white elephant?
I think you like, don't you get like a, someone unwraps a gift and then you get like a choice if you want to steal it or not after you've unwrapped
okay,
yours?
I think we should Rochambeau it or something to see who gets the first pick and obviously don't pick yours.
Rochambeau? Who's
you know, like
that?
Paper rock.
What the hell's Rochambeau?
Paper rock scissors.
Well, why
dude?
The hell didn't you just say paper rock scissors?
Oh, Rochambeau.
I know. I knew what she was talking about.
Fancy talk.
Rochambeau.
Yeah.
Must be too old.
She is a little over the
hill.
Yeah.
Bro, Cham, but you too. All
okay,
right.
Okay, so you go with Jake to determine who goes first. Go.
Okay.
Okay. One, two, three.
Janice wins. Jake is behind Janice. Okay, ready? Go. One, two, three.
Oh,
shoot.
Damn.
Both got rocks. Okay, go. One, two, three.
Oh, yes! See, look at you just defiant. Okay.
Go. One, two, three. Oh, rock, paper covers rock.
Paper
damn
covers
it.
Rock.
All right, so then I got to determine with Jake which one of us goes behind you. Ready, go? One, two, three. I beat you. Okay, Jake's in third place. I'm second. You're first. Now you got to compete with Brittany.
Okay, Brittany.
Look at you.
Rock
both
and rock.
Rocks again. All right, so wait. Brittany goes first. You go
then
second.
Me.
Then me. Then okay. Schmake. All right, so you get to pick, but obviously don't pick.
Brittany picks first.
Oh, that's right. Go, Britt.
Okay. I'll take the one in the bag, like the large Santa one.
You scumbag.
What?
You picked the biggest present. Wait, you can't open yet.
Oh, I can't?
No.
Oh,
okay. Janice. All right, well, that leaves me with this this crappy one. All right. And there's Jake.
Okay, so now we all have a present.
All right, now what happens?
Now we open them.
Why is my mic always like...
Well, because you diddle with
limp.
It.
Limp.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm in serious, like, for lack of a better term.
No right. one's going to want to steal mine.
You ready?
Okay, go. Better be good. All right. Here we go.
All right.
Rubber poop! Yeah! Oh, I'm so excited.
Oh, my God. This
I really
is
wanted this. Rubber poop.
Okay, Jillian got rubber poop. I got a book called...
I got two different kinds of rubber poop.
Ooh, that
I got one to hang on the toilet seat. This is rad. And then I got dog crap. I love it.
I have a book called Jack Shit. I'm going to say that. And it's called The Ultimate in Toilet Humor.
Oh, well, open a page and read us one.
Yeah. All right. Full of shit. Piece of shit. In the shit. So in the shit. Put off a shovel. Drowning in a sea of shit. That's fun.
That's right. A good one.
All right, Jake.
Jake, what did you get?
Okay, we got a book called Farts Around the World.
Oh,
this is great. It's one of those books where you press a button and we get sound. Let's hear. We've got a...
France?
Number 7 is Britain. It's called The Bum Tickler and it sounds like this.
That's actually a really good book.
This is hilarious.
I know. That was mine.
Do another one.
That's the Thailand fart.
Where did you find that?
That's the Thailand fart. It's good, isn't it?
That's the Enlightened Pass.
Oh, the Enlightened Pass.
That's look at this show. What is wrong with all of us? Okay, Brittany.
I've got my hat on, and I got a headlamp.
Yeah.
Just, you know, just in case. I don't know what I would do with this. Maybe.
Lots of things.
Go pick berries.
Pick berries, paint. Paint in the dark.
You got a headlamp.
You got to go
dark.
Fetch something.
You got a headlamp.
You
got a headlamp to go
the
with this.
Theme.
Well, wait.
And I don't know. I got deer sh**.
It's a deer. You put it.
Oh!
You put it in and pull his antlers, and he poops.
You pull his
That's
antlers.
That's kind of great.
That's funny.
That's kind of good.
Yeah.
A shitting reindeer keychain.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
nice.
It's gonna look really good.
That was a good one. Yeah. I gotta say, although my piece of that hangs off the toilet seat, I can't wait to do this hiding today. All I want to do right now is leave and go home and lay this fake shit around the house and just watch. Her parents are in town, too. I'm going to put
They'll
it on their
proud.
Toilet seat.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. Because with Lou around, by the way,
Jillian,
anything's possible.
You can't do that to her parents.
Oh, my God. All I do is screw around with her parents.
Oh.
It's like my favorite pastime is screwing around with Grandma Joyce and Grandpa Fred. What was that one?
Oh, my God.
Oh, that
God.
Would be a... Number 3, the cloud splitter in Switzerland.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
These
well,
are good.
Yeah.
I think we
have, did good.
I think we all were on the same page.
You sucked right up until you got the shitting reindeer keychain. And then I was like, that's good.
Janice said something, but she got it at the airport?
No,
fabulous. In
I
fact,
brought it down.
It's called the Super Duper Pocket Pooper. Candy Craft. Oh, they're candy
candies.
Oh! Oh my gosh. Not only does this reindeer shit, but it's candy.
Yeah, and then you eat it.
Oh my God. This is
no,
fantastic.
No, I brought it down from Canada. That's why you have a Mentos.
And it says there's no artificial flavors.
I think someone's having envy right now. She wants my reindeer.
No, I like the shit that hangs off the toilet.
I think everybody picked an appropriate gift.
Oh my God. I'm going to totally do this to Heidi's parents, and they're going to think that Lou crapped on the toilet seat because it happens, by the way. This is awesome. These are good.
The headlamp.
I love it.
Do you wear these often?
Yes. And you always have one in your hiking pack. It's one of the seven essentials of hiking. You should always have a headlamp.
Can you imagine me hiking Runyon with a headlamp?
Okay, this is Los Angeles. All right. Okay. Well, happy holidays, everyone. What a wonderful shitty bunch of presents we have.
Yeah! Silent night, holy night, all is calm, we see, all is bright, round yon virgin.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny and I love you.